Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
We are in Luke chapter 1, and today we begin in verse 26. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, we're going to read through verse 56, and we still won't be finished with this chapter. Luke 1, 26 through 56, this is God's word. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Our main point today is taken from the message of the angel. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Every so often, I run across an article or a video or whatever with some pseudo-intellectual claiming that this is just mythology. You know, that this is make-believe. This didn't really happen. That is not surprising that people who think they are really brilliant would say such things. What is disturbing is when I run across people who claim to be Christians, many of them ministers, pastors, and they say that, you know, we need to stop talking about this. This is the driving people away. If we try to get people who don't share our faith to believe this sort of story, the story of the virgin birth, then we're really driving people away from the faith. We need to just leave that out. Okay, you can still believe it if you want, but don't try and tell other people about Jesus being born of a virgin. Because for goodness sake, in primitive times, people could believe such things. But now that people are more sophisticated and educated and science has advanced so far, now we know that this is just not the sort of thing we ought to be telling people. There are many things I could say about a person who would say such things. And some of them might be deemed unkind. But if you will notice, here is a young woman, a teenager, in a very, some would say, backward part of the world, about 2,000 years ago. And when she heard, as a virgin, that she was going to become pregnant and have a child, she didn't say, cool. She said, how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. Now, why did she say that? Because people knew 2,000 years ago that it takes a man and a woman to produce a human child. What is really amazing is that now, in the midst of foolish people trying to say that they didn't know that perhaps in earlier generations, totally ignoring the obvious from the text, we have people who are trying to argue that because of the fluidity of gender, maybe males can have babies, and maybe women can father children, and so forth. I mean, what an irony that the same moronic argument that's used to say these people didn't understand biology is being spoken by people who clearly have rejected what everybody knows about biology. How in the world can we live in a culture where a candidate for the Supreme Court, who did get approved and put on the Supreme Court, can be asked by a senator, what is a woman? And her answer is, I really am not qualified to say because I'm not a biologist. And to this culture, we've got preachers who want to say we shouldn't talk about the virgin birth because that's just too great a leap of faith. I'm sorry, I hope even our youngest students are old enough to understand that people who say such things are behaving like fools. I want to ask you a question. Where did the universe come from?
Well, I don't know. I've never really thought about it.
Well, think about it. Do you believe the universe is eternal, that matter is eternal, that it's always been here? Well, from what reading I have done, I seem to understand that the consensus among those in the scientific community is that the universe had a beginning. It had a start. It came into being somehow. You're right. Now, where did it come from? I don't know. I've heard of the Big Bang. I think it was a show on television. I don't really know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. I'm not a scientist. I just plead ignorance, okay? Well, get informed. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where it came from. The universe was created by God. Okay? The universe hasn't always been. It is a creation of Almighty God, who spoke the universe into being and created everything out of nothing. You know, Pastor Wood, that's a faith statement. Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I happen to know the one who made it. This is the Word of God. And I am grateful to say I know him, and you can too. You can know him, not just know about him. You can know him. You can have a personal relationship with the creator of all things. Now, the reason I'm going back to try and rehash that, which I hope we're all in agreement about, is because the idea of a virgin birth would be very, very, very hard to believe if it was something Mary had manufactured herself. Okay? Joseph, who loved her, did not believe her. When she said to Joseph that she was pregnant and God is the father, he thought, okay, I don't know if she's crazy or if she's just lying, but I'm not going to marry her, because it's not my child. And so he was going to divorce her quietly. We read about that in Matthew's gospel. But an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, don't be afraid to marry her. It's really true. God is the Father. She's going to give birth to the Messiah. And so he married her. But they didn't have physical relations until after the child was born. Now, why is the virgin birth such a miracle? Oh, you already said it takes a man and a woman. Yeah, that's the way things work. You have this stuff that wasn't discovered until the last century. It's called DNA. And all of us have it as one of the most amazing things. They're still learning more about DNA. It is absolutely amazing. It is one of the things that is making it harder and harder for serious scientists not to believe in God. If you study DNA and you study mathematics, probability, you realize there has to be an intelligent designer. It couldn't happen by chance. It's not just that, you know, very, very unlikely that that would happen. It is so unlikely as to be statistically impossible, not just implausible. It didn't happen. When I was a kid, and times were more primitive back then, actually, people used to wear watches back then. And it wasn't just to monitor their heart like mine. The watches were really cool. They had all these little devices in them, little wheels that went around, and little things that moved other things, and all of that. It was so cool. If you could see inside a watch, it was an amazing thing to see. And my dad would say, if I were to tell you that I took all these parts, all the individual parts that go into making a watch, and put them in a paper sack and just shook for a long time, and gradually it came into being as this watch. Would you believe that? What if I shook it for a really, 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 really long time? Would you believe that? No. And of course, where did the parts come from? That made sense to me as a little kid, to say, obviously, there is a designer obviously there is a creator. To believe what God says is faith. To not believe what God says is insanity. One of the reasons is because we not only have evidence, we have within us an awareness of truth. People all over the world throughout all of human history have known there is something greater than me. There is some power out there that accounts for what we see in creation. And the Bible talks about that in Romans chapter 1. The fact that men are without excuse because the creation continually bears witness to the existence of God and the character of God. And therefore, the reason people don't believe is they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1. In other words, I know it's true, but I don't want to believe it's true. And so I'm not going to believe it's true. And then just to top off my foolishness, I'm going to say the reason I don't believe it is I'm too intelligent for that. I used to believe that when I was a kid, but then I got an education and now I don't believe it. You didn't get an education, you got indoctrination from people who are fools. Pastor Wood, you just said they are fools. No, I was quoting scripture, I'm sorry. Let me clarify. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. That's what God says about the matter. We read in John's gospel, this is the judgment. The light has come into the darkness and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. Why would somebody say, I don't believe in God? Because if there is a God who is God, they can't be the boss. If God is really God, then I need to submit to him because my life depends on him. Now, in this passage, the angel says to her, nothing is impossible with God. It should not be unbelievable to us, and it wasn't to Mary, that the one who created DNA, which she had never heard of, the one who created humans, male and female, that God was going to do something that had never been done before and wouldn't be done again. God was going to cause a virgin to conceive and bear a child with no human father. Is it really intellectually hard to grasp that the inventor of life, the creator of DNA, could intervene in the process and say, this is going to be different? This is not recorded as the sort of thing that used to happen in Judea a lot. This is recorded as something that is absolutely unprecedented, totally miraculous, and God's gracious provision for our salvation. So, please, when you run across someone who sounds educated and sophisticated and very sure, saying that this is just a myth, when you hear that, the only thing you should be impressed with is their stupidity. I hope you've got that. Now, the angel appears, and yes, angels are real. The angel appeared, it wasn't a hallucination, and brought her the word of the Lord. This is a specific angel, Gabriel, same one who brought the message to Zechariah. And Gabriel says, you have found favor with God. You're going to be with child and give birth to a son. You're to give him the name Jesus, Yeshua. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. Why? Because he's the Son of the Most High. This is the fulfillment of the prophecies in the Old Testament. Note especially Isaiah. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. You and I need to realize who Jesus is. He is not only the Son of God, He is the eternal king. His kingdom will never end. Now, Mary embraces the truth. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. And so Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she had been told that her relative, Elizabeth, was also going to have a child. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby that she was carrying leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and in a loud voice exclaimed, "You are blessed among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Why? Because as prophesied, the baby she was carrying was the one who would go before Jesus announcing the arrival of Messiah in his kingdom. And so the baby in her womb responded to the sound of Mary's voice because Mary was carrying the Lord of the universe in her womb. This is just absolutely marvelous. But it not only tells us something about John the Baptist and about Jesus, it should tell us something about children in the womb. They're not things. They're people. Please understand that God's word treats children in the womb as precious in God's sight. Please understand that God's word instructs us about how we need to view life. Mary responded. First of all, Elizabeth refers to her as blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I love that. Because Mary, right away, has gone to see Elizabeth, and already this child is in her womb, and already Elizabeth recognizes it, and Elizabeth says the child in her womb also recognizes the one in Mary. Mary responds, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." I want to ask you a question. Do you really believe that nothing is impossible with God? If God can enable the Virgin Mary to give birth to a sinless substitute who's going to go to the cross on our behalf and pay our debt in full and then conquer death for us, do you really believe that any of the things you're facing are too hard for God? Say, "But this is a real big problem I've got." God says, "Ooh, boy, you're right. I've never faced anything like that before." You think? Of course not. Nothing is impossible with God. When you know who God is, you want to worship him. You worship Creator God, who when we rebelled against him, could have just wiped us all out, but instead chose to bring salvation to all who believe. I pray that every one of you will repent and believe the good news, because God's word is true.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.